Let us hear God's word. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Dear congregation, the church has a victorious king, a mighty conqueror who defends his people. Dear brethren, we have many an enemy who would seek to do us much harm. However, we have an almighty king who is over us, and he is a lion, as we shall see tonight, will defend us. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we began to look at the titles and names of Christ. And first of all, from this chapter, we considered that Christ is the Lamb. Just notice verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Christ the Lamb. And dear brethren, what a comfort that we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. So first of all, we consider Christ the Lamb. Last week, we considered that Christ is the Shepherd, or the Great Shepherd. Hebrews 13, verse 20. And then also those familiar words we have in John 10, where Christ makes plain that he is the good shepherd. So firstly, Christ the Lamb. Secondly, Christ the Shepherd. Tonight, as we continue on in this series, Christ the Lion. Christ the Lion. Verse 5, And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. We're here in this fifth chapter of this amazing book. We are presented with a heavenly scene. The scene opens in chapter 4. We'll just read verse 1 and 2 again of that chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. We're presented with God on his throne. And there in heaven there is such worship being given to him by the church, and by the angels. But as we discovered also a few weeks ago in chapter 5, by many also here upon earth. Well, as we think of this heavenly scene and this heavenly vision, we are further presented with Christ, the mighty Lamb, rather the mighty Lion and the victorious Lamb. First of all, the mighty Lion in verse 5, and secondly, the victorious Lamb in verse 12. We think of him. And if you were to read through these verses, we see that through him, the purposes of God, the book, relative to the church, but then also to the world, are fulfilled. The purposes of God, the book, as we note in verse 1 of chapter 5, the book relative to the church, but also then to the world, are fulfilled. Consider he has the power. And through him the purposes of God are fulfilled for the good of the kingdom, even those judgments in this world. Now as we come to this chapter, we read in verse 1 of this chapter, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Remember, we're thinking here particularly of the purposes of God relative to the church, but then also to the world. The purposes of God, the book. And then we read in verse 2, And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. No man. And what do we read then in verse 4? And I wept. He's thinking of the purposes of God. What's going to happen? No man in heaven nor in earth is able to open the book. And he's weeping. What do we read in verse 4? Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Weep not. The purposes of God will be fulfilled because of the Lion, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has accomplished redemption. The church will be blessed and will be defended. Weep not. O dear brethren, let us look up. The purposes of God for the church in this world are being fulfilled because of Jesus Christ, the Almighty King. And then think a little further. The purposes of God for us here at Ipsley are being fulfilled because of the Almighty King. And that is a great comfort, isn't it? Because of him, the purposes of God will be fulfilled for us and for us further as individuals. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Oh, consider him tonight. We're so blessed through Jesus Christ. We have a great King whose hand is upon us. And he will defend us. And because of him, the purposes of God for us will be fulfilled. Well, that's the background here tonight. And having said this, I like now to consider him who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And right at the outset, do not we consider we are defended through Jesus Christ. God's people are defended. Well, three brief things tonight. First of all, the Lion who came. What do we read here? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in a moment, we'll consider a particular prophecy in Genesis, which prophesied certain things concerning Judah and the coming of Jesus. So first of all, the Lion who came. Secondly, the Great Lion, because in the Bible there are others who are likened or known to be a lion. So thirdly, secondly, the great lion, and then thirdly, the victorious lion. The lion who came, the great lion, and the victorious lion. Well, first of all, the lion who came. Weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's particularly focus on those words, the tribe of Judah. Now you'll need to turn with me to Genesis chapter 49. And verse 9 and verse 10. Genesis 49, verse 9 and verse 10. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now we see there that Judah was likened to a lion's whelp. What is a lion's whelp? Well, it's a cub, isn't it? A young one. Judah was likened to a lion's whelp, to a lion's cub. Well, Christ is the Lion who came. And he sprang from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is the Lion that came, he is the Shiloh, the Lion that came, and he descended from Judah, who is a lion's whelp. So this particular verse has light on that prophecy in Genesis chapter 49. We think there Judah is a lion's whelp. And then we think of Christ who sprung from the tribe of Judah as the Lion. The Lion that came. Just note those words again. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, the congregation, as we considered in Luke 2 tonight, the Lion came into this lower world. He was born at Bethlehem. And you remember that Bethlehem is known there as Bethlehem, Judah. What do we read in Matthew 2 verse 1? Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He sprang from the tribe of Judah, and he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Remember those words in Micah 5 verse 2? But Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. It's a prophecy concerning Bethlehem, and that the Lion of Judah would come from that place. Why did he come? Well, we all know why he came. The apostle made it plain in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to seek and to save, as we considered this afternoon. He came to accomplish salvation for those who believe. He came to save poor sinners. That's the great reason he came, isn't it? Matthew 1 verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus. Young ones, you know what his name means. He saves, Jehovah saves. There's salvation through him and through him alone. Think of the Lion that came. He came to save. What is his name? His name is Jesus. Have you looked unto him? What do we read in Hebrews 13? Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. Have you looked? He's the Lion. But if you go to him, you will have nothing to fear. But oh, be warned if you do not. In Psalm 2 verse 12 we read, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. You think of a lion. You would not want to be near a lion when it gets angry. Psalm 2 verse 12. Kiss the Son. Embrace him in the arms of faith. Embrace him in the arms of love. Believe in him. Love him. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And dear brethren, we're blessed if we're believing in him. You are blessed. The Bible makes it plain. You're blessed for believing in Jesus and in him alone. Oh, consider him. He's the Lion. He came. Have you looked to him who came into this world? Now, just before we move on, I'd like us just to consider two further things here. Christ the Lion who took human nature. We're thinking that Christ the Lion came. We're just thinking here, Christ the Lion who took human nature. Now what do we read here in Revelation 5 verse 5? Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now Christ descended in respect of his flesh from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews 7 verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. He descended from there. Now as God, he had no beginning. And as we consider him, he is the eternally begotten Son. Just return again to those words in Micah 5 verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. We're thinking of his incarnation there. But then we read this. Whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So when we think of him, that he is God the Son, he is the eternally begotten Son who had no beginning. However, before he came into this world, he had no human nature. Before he came into this world, he had no human nature. He took it when he came into this world. And the old catechism puts it like this, and it's very helpful here. Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. Remember those words in John 1 verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The second person of the Godhead, the eternal Son of God, took human nature into union. He who was God entered this world. And so we read in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, God was manifest in the flesh. He, God the Son, assumed or took human nature. We see the two natures. Remember those words in Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born. They were thinking of the human nature. But we read on. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Who came into this world? The Mighty God, God the Son, and he took human nature. How amazing. And we see there in that familiar verse, two distinct natures. Those two distinct natures were joined together in one person. Now it's a great mystery, isn't it? Listen to what John Brown of Haddington underlined. No man or angel can fully understand the mysteries of it. We cannot fully understand, can we? But oh, consider, he is God and he is man. The JWs have got it so wrong, because Jesus is God as well as man. And the one they speak of as being Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. Because the Jesus of the Bible has another name, and his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, consider him, the lion who came. He took human nature. He is God. And he continued to be God, yet he took human nature. Now, why was it necessary that he should take human nature? Well, there's one particular reason. There's many reasons, but there's one particular reason, and that's this. In taking human nature, he was capable of suffering. You see, as God, he could not suffer. But in taking human nature, he could suffer. He could face the penalty. He could pay the debt. He could make satisfaction for sin. He kept the law perfectly. But he also suffered the penalty for the broken law on behalf of others. He shall save his people from their sins. In taking human nature, he was able to suffer. And as we think of the cross and that he died on the cross, in taking human nature, he was able to die in our place, dear brethren. He took human nature. He must take it. For without it there be no salvation, no pardon of sins, no acceptance, no life, no heaven, no eternal bliss, no happiness in the heavenly world to come. He had to take it. He had to be born in Bethlehem, or there would be no heaven for those who believe. That was one of the great reasons why he took human nature. But then the second thing here, we thought of Christ who took the lion, who took human nature. But then secondly, Christ the lion who came in fulfillment of Scripture. Now we've already seen that prophecy in Genesis 49, verse 9 and 10. We thought there of Judah as a lion's whelp. And then we read, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. But the Lord came. Scripture was fulfilled, and fulfilled in every detail. He was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5 verse 2, here's the prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. down to that very detail, Scripture was fulfilled. And does it not show to us again the truth of the Bible? Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Now we live in a day when many dismiss this book. However, it's God's word. It is the only book that is God's word. And when we think of the prophecies in this book and the fulfillment of them, it, as one of old Thomas Watson puts it, is clear demonstration of its divine origin. Think of all the prophecies and those that have been fulfilled in great detail. It shows to us the truth that this book is God's word. He never lies, does he? No, he spake the truth. He inspired certain ones to write. This book is true. Think of the prophecies, those that have been fulfilled. They've been fulfilled in such detail. Think of the prophecies that are yet to come. Rather, yet to be fulfilled. Think of that prophecy of the Lord's return. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Think of what it's saying there. He's going to come one day. And it's true. We think of the lion who came. One day the lion's coming again. And it will be fulfilled. One day all of us will be standing before Jesus on that great day. And all who have ever lived will be standing before Jesus. The lion who came in fulfillment of Scripture. The lion who is coming, and it will be in fulfillment of Scripture. Well, we thought then of the lion who came. But as we draw to a close now, I'd like us to consider the other 2 points. Secondly, the great lion. And then thirdly, the victorious lion. Secondly tonight, the great lion. Just focus on these words. Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. We're thinking of the great lion. Now why do I say this? Well, the Bible makes plain that there are others compared to or are known as a lion. Just briefly note this. First of all, believers. Turn with me to Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. Here is a proverb concerning the Lord's people, and that they are likened to being a lion. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Thinking there of boldness. Yes, there's a humility, but there's a boldness. They go forth. They go forth into a difficult place, and they serve the Lord. They have compassion in their hearts, as we saw this morning, yet they go forth with boldness. They stand up for the Lord. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So believers are likened to being a lion for boldness. Dear brethren, let's seek to be bold for the glory of Christ. But then secondly, wicked men are likened to a lion. Now, we haven't got time to go through Psalm 10. But I'll just read one or two things. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. We're dealing with the wicked. And there we read, in verse 9 of that psalm, these words, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. And we can think of certain ones, they seek to terrify others. They seek to injure others, particularly by their words. You know, sometimes you can meet someone and they say something so hurtful, and you're reminded that they're a lion. And they're seeking to harm. So we can think of the wicked there. But then thirdly, and this is perhaps one of the most familiar, the devil. The devil is a lion. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's no domestic cat, is he? He's a roaring lion. And I say this with a pastor's heart. Dear brethren, remember, he's a roaring lion. He wants to inflict pain. He delights in seeking to terrify the saints. So he whispers in their ear. He fires the darts, as we see in Ephesians. He delights in seeking to terrify the saints. He wants you destroyed. Be on your guard. There's danger abroad. He's on the prowl. He's watching you. I have a little cat. And I put the cat outside yesterday. And I noticed our little cat got up onto an old table. And he sat there watching. He's done very well. He's caught a number of mice. But there he is. He's watching. He silently sits there and he's watching. He surveys this part of the garden where he knows mice have been. He's watching. And then sometimes he gets down and he's on the prowl. Think of the devil. He's watching you. He's on the prowl. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He walks about. He's on the prowl. Be on your guard. Suddenly, you hear a whisper. Suddenly a dart comes. Be on your guard. Lift up the shield of faith. Remember what we saw a few weeks ago? How did Jesus respond to the devil? Use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. It is risen. It is written. There may be a whisper in your ear. You're not going to be blessed. Respond. The Lord has said in his word that he will bless his people. What's going to happen to you may be a whisper. You're so weak. How are you going to get through this situation? Respond. The Lord has said to me that he will help me and he will strengthen me. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Be in your guard and be quick to use the sword. Attack Satan with the sword. If you feel a whisper's come or a dart's come your way, this is reality. The Bible's true. The Bible makes plain there is a devil who seeks to inflict pain. Oh, attack him with the word of God. Respond, it is written. The whisper may come. What's the point? Respond by saying the Lord has promised to bless his people. Well, we consider these illustrations tonight. And we consider those who are likened to a lion. Well, having said this, we consider Christ. He's the great lion. He's stronger than the devil and other men. He's the great one, the almighty one. Remember those words again, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given and the government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came. We think he sprang from the tribe of Judah and he's the Mighty Lion, the Mighty God. Consider his strength. Remember what we considered a few weeks ago in Revelation 5 and verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. What is the people doing there? What are people doing? They're putting on him. They're ascribing to him the strength. Oh, dear brethren, what a strong Saviour we have. What a mighty King we have. Oh, there's so many who laugh at Christians in this country. We have a love for them. They laugh, so many of them, at us. Many despise the church. Many think the church has had its day. Dear brethren, look up. We have a mighty King who's there to help us. He's strong to save. He's strong to help us. Psalm 89 verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Help laid on the mighty one. Dear brethren, the help we needed and all of it was laid on Jesus there in that psalm. The mighty one. He helped us. He delivered us from sin. And he helps us in our lives. Oh, he's the mighty one. Strong to help. Strong to deliver. Have you been saved by the great lion? There's a lion called devil, the devil, and he seeks to do you harm, but then there's the great lion. Have you been saved by him? Have you been caused to yield? Are you at his feet? He's the great lion. Oh, dear brethren, take comfort in Christ. He's able to defend you. Satan and wicked men are no match for him. He's able to defend you. If you're facing a difficult time, maybe in the workplace or somewhere else, and you're finding it hard going, remember you have an almighty lion who is there to defend you. Well, as we close, then time is gone. Thirdly, the victorious lion. The victorious lion. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. He can. The purposes of God will be fulfilled in him. And why? Because he's the victorious lion. He's dealt with Satan. He has dealt with sin. And he has dealt with death. He is the victor. And in closing, I'd like us to consider Christ, the victorious lamb. He's the victor. And dear brethren, as we look out on this nation, and as we live in these days where there's much to discourage, let's take comfort tonight that Christ is the victor. He is the victorious lamb. He wears a royal crown, Psalm 21, and he wears the victor's crown, Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in the battle. And you see there, he wears the victor's crown. He wears the royal crown, Psalm 21. Psalm 24, he wears the victor's crown. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Here's the King, he's coming home. He's getting near to heaven at his ascension. Who is this King of glory? Who is this glorious King? It's the lion of the tribe of Judah, the victorious one, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He in the battle with sin and Satan and death came forth victorious. It was a fierce battle. He kept the law perfectly, but he also paid the price of sin. He satisfied divine justice, and death could not keep him. He rose victoriously. As you think of his resurrection, think he's the victorious lion. Death could not keep him. It couldn't. He'd fought that battle with death and came forth victoriously. He had satisfied divine justice. He'd done it all. He had to rise. Death couldn't stop him. Satan, who tempted man to sin, was defeated. Hebrews 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him or render him useless, that the power of death, that is the devil. Yes, Satan still is a roaring lion, but he cannot keep one in bondage whom the Lord is saving. He's been rendered useless. Christ is victorious. Oh, consider him. Dear brethren, take comfort in the victorious Lamb. Oh, that many will be found submitting to him with faith in their heart. Remember those words that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Oh, that people will consider him. He wears the victor's crown. His name is Jesus. Through him there is life. He rose victoriously. Oh, that men would bow. Are you bowing the knee to Jesus? I do not know if you've met the Queen. What are you to do if you meet the Queen? You young ladies, you're to curtsy. And you men, you're to bow. Have you met the King of Kings? Let me ask you, have you? By faith, have you bowed the knee to Jesus? He's the victor. Dear brethren, take comfort. He's the victorious lion. There's a lion called Satan, but we have Christ, the victorious one, who defeated him. Take comfort. Because of him there is victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the grave. One day we're going to die, and our bodies are going to be found in the grave. But what do we read there? O grave, where is thy victory? This victory through Christ. There will be a glorious resurrection. And then we shall forever be with the Lord. When I consider my acquaintance with Christ, I've only really just begun in the acquaintance. What a future! When I leave this world, I will go to be with Christ in heaven. And then on that great day, there will be the wonderful resurrection for the believer. Not for the unbeliever, but for the believer, that wonderful and glorious resurrection. And my soul and body reunited will then be with the Lord forever, and I will go on to enjoy acquaintance with him. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory for us, dear brethren. There's a wonderful future. There's a glorious eternity, because of the victorious lion. All the men would be brought to his feet, that they would be found submitting to him. They will find in him that he is such a precious lamb, such a loving shepherd, and that he is a lion, will defend them in life and defend them in death, and will bless them for all eternity. There is victory through the victorious Lamb. Victorious Lion. Oh, consider him. Are you found at his feet? Are you sheltering under him? We need defending in life, don't we? What a blessing to have the great Lion defending us. We need defending in death. Death is an enemy, as we read of in Corinthians. What a blessing to have the great lion with us as we approach death, and that he is also the shepherd who will guide us through that valley. Well, we thought of him, the lamb. We thought him also as the great shepherd. Tonight, he's the great lion. Dear brethren, rest in him. He will defend you, and he will see you to heaven. Amen. We'll close tonight by turning to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, we'll sing from verse 18. For God is our defence, and he to us doth safety bring.